1, 2, 3.
Welcome to In the Studio. For three decades now, the first person stories of and by the greatest rock musicians in history. I'm Redbeard, your conductor on this rock and roll train, and today in the studio, it's the anniversary of the 4 million selling self-titled collection from Genesis, affectionately known as the Mama Album.
No, we've never thought, well, should we do this? What will people say? We're supposed to be a progressive rock group. This would be rocking the boat as far as the fans are concerned. I mean, we've always done what we wanted to do. And maybe we've not been what that person thought we were in the first place. You know, maybe we were never a progressive rock group. Maybe we were always just a group of songwriters saying, how about this for an idea? It's hot.
Side one has really stood up. Three songs, Mama, That's All, and Home by the Sea. It always amazes me how it's not until you get a couple of years distance from an album, maybe a year, that you can tell what's good and what's not so good. Because at the time, I love it all. We do the best you can. You can't tell at the time, no. But I think some of the best stuff we've ever done is on the side one of that. I think it's very strong.
And this is Tony Banks.
And this is Mike Rutherford, and we are Genesis. Welcome back to In the Studio
with Genesis. I'm Phil Collins with Redbeard.
By the time British rock band Genesis got to their 14th studio album in autumn 1983, their prodigious musical output was clearly defined in distinct eras. But curiously, those periods were most easily defined by when a Genesis band member left. The original heady era ended when singer Peter Gabriel left following the Lamb Lies Down on Broadway tour in 1975. The middle period for Genesis, with drummer Phil Collins surprising virtually everyone by more than capably filling the lead singer role, concluded when guitarist Steve Hackett bowed out, resulting in the transitionary album with the clever title And Then There Were Three, that was in 1978. The third Genesis era found them as a trio consisting of keyboardist Tony Banks, guitarist Mike Rutherford, and singer-drummer Collins. They scored back-to-back commercial hit albums with 1980's Duke and 81's Abacab, yet each member had released no less than two solo albums by the time the Mama album came out in October 1983. Phil Collins, in particular, had successfully launched a parallel solo career with the albums Face Value and Hello, I Must Be Going. Instead of siphoning off creative energy and diluting Genesis' impact, the solo albums by all three actually seemed to inspire the group to lift any self-imposed restrictions to their sound. Tony Banks claims that it was understood within Genesis that the solo albums were not an aberration.
I don't think we thought it'd be one-off. I think because once you know that once you've started that kind of thing, you've had there's something about doing an album on your own that does give you a lot of pleasure, I think, which is sort of different kind of thing. You work with other, you have a chance to carry ideas right the way through. And I think once you've done it once, it's like sort of an addiction. You'll want to do it again, regardless of how well they do or otherwise. And so once I think all three of us have done a solo record, then I think from then on, you know, and we proved that it worked, because obviously once, you know, Phil's first record was so successful that, you know, he couldn't have done much better. And then the next Genesis album happened, and that still was working. So we've kind of proved to ourselves that you could take the time away from the group and still keep it working.
Mike Rutherford of Genesis.
I think the thing to remember is that we've been thinking about doing solo albums for quite a while. It wasn't something that automatically, just because Phil had these problems and there was a time break, these problems, you know, his little little quirks.
They don't seem to go away either.
It had been on the cards for a while, and so it was just a natural time to do it. I think the thing to remember is that with groups it's kind of difficult. You can't start doing solo things and giving the group a rest for like a year or two or three or whatever until you reach a certain level of success. I guess someone like Steve Hackett kind of left before we got to that stage. You know, there's a certain moment in time when the time is right and okay to do it, and it's not right before that time.
Change your mama, but I can hardly wait.
touch and to feel you, mama. Oh, I just can't keep away. In the heat and the steam of the city, eyes got me running and I just can't break. So say you'll help me, mama, 'cause it's getting so hard. Oh, now I can keep you, mama, but I know you're always there. You listen, you teach me, mama, and I know inside you care. So get down, down here beside me. We'll be right back.
because it set the template for the way the band would create the remainder of material on this album. All three members of Genesis referred to the October 1983 album from which it comes as the Mama album. Lead singer drummer Phil Collins even admits to nicking that rhythmic laugh from rap pioneer Grandmaster Flash. With recent newfound pop success in the singles charts, both in the UK and in America, some rock critics wrung their hands over whether Genesis should honor their progressive past by not straying musically, while always ready to castigate them, of course, if they didn't evolve. Phil Collins says it's a catch-22 that the band refused to be defined by others.
No, we've never thought, well, should we do this? What will people say? We're supposed to be a progressive rock group. This would be rocking the boat as far as the fans are concerned. I mean, we've always done what we wanted to do. And along the line, we've lost a lot of fans and friends, and I'm sure we have. Apart from the ones that don't like what you're putting out, you get people that are, you know, they don't buy every album you do. They've got a mortgage, they've got two kids, they've got a dog, they've got a house. You know, they're not interested as they were in music, maybe. Their interests have widened. So you're going to lose fans like that. You're also going to lose fans because they like surreal sci-fi approach that we used to have. But as we change and the audience change, you know, you hope that you take people with you. You know, I always say, when people say, why aren't you writing songs like In the Cage anymore? Why aren't you writing songs like Sabbath's Ready? I turn around to them and say, do you read the same books as you read 20 years ago? Do you wear the same clothes that you wore 20 years ago? Do you look the same as you did when you, do you feel the same? And they always ought to obviously say, well, no. And I say, well, we don't write the same kind of songs because we are a reflection of what we are and what we do and what we read and what we listen to and all that kind of thing. So, of course, things will change. And maybe we've not been what that person thought we were in the first place. You know, maybe we were never a progressive rock group. Maybe we were always just a group of songwriters saying, how about this for an idea? We've got this idea for a song about a hermaphrodite. Let's do that. How about writing a song about this little girl that, you know, playing croquet and knocks her family's heads off on the croquet lawn? It could have been like that, you know. But we didn't wake up and sort of this massive image and sort of this thing we wanted to say. We were just writing songs. Since we've had our own place, studio to write and record. I mean, with Abacab being the first album that we had our own studio, although we didn't write the songs in the studio at that point because the studio was being built across the path, you know, when we went in there, we found that some sounds were quite, you know, it occupied certain space. Like the drum sound at that point was quite big, and so it enabled us to sort of use a little bit less rather than sort of layering it upon layer upon layer. So at that point, our sound probably scaled down a bit. And as you mentioned, Man on the Corner, something like that. In the old days, probably we may have over-arranged a song like that. Whereas with, you know, in that period, we heard it and it sounded good, so we didn't screw around with it. And I think whenever possible, a song like Mama, for example, is another example of someone going in there and under-arranging it. Well, not under-arranging it, actually just leaving it as it was, which was enough. I think we've all become a little bit more economical with our playing and over the years, and sort of doing whatever's best for the song. So that mixed with the way we write and record now, I think it probably adds up to something that if you hear it and it doesn't need any more stuff, you leave it.
With 1981's Abacab album, Genesis had returned successfully to the group writing format that they had abandoned following Peter Gabriel's departure back in 1975. But for this 1983 album, the band wanted to take the group writing concept even further. Genesis guitarist bass player Mike Rutherford explains.
Alongside getting back to writing together again in the studio, you know, with no ideas, just 3-4 go, improvise, what comes out comes out, we always had this ambition to be able to record something very quickly, which is one of the main reasons for getting our own studio. It's always at the back of our mind, you know. And Mama's a good example of a song that I think, I mean, Mama was recorded within days of writing it. I mean, you know, it was really a long song and we turned it into that version. I mean, it could have gone on for hours. And it's an example of how it would never have happened if we'd taken it and then worked on it for a couple of weeks or longer and gone into a studio. We managed to capture some of that magic that was there literally in the first few hours of playing a song. We got it down, which I think was quite an important thing for us to capture.
Shining, so I head for the pub. Pretty bottle of tequila and a new Bacassi. Got a The 1983-84 Genesis World Tour stop in Los Angeles, that's Illegal Alien. Still to come, Phil Collins, Tony Banks, and Mike Rutherford discuss why it's easier for some to torture people than it is to say, I love you in a song. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and get a whole lot more at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard, in the studio with the guys from Genesis for the anniversary of the UK number one album, top 10 in the U.S., 1983 album simply entitled Genesis.
And this is Tony Banks.
And this is Mike Rutherford, and we are Genesis. Welcome back to In the Studio
with Genesis. I'm Phil Collins with Redbeard.
Thank you, guys. 20 years before the disturbing images emerged from the Iraqi Abu Ghraib prison, and films such as Rendition shed light on the shadowy world of state-sponsored torture, Genesis wrote and released the song Just a Job to Do. In pre-9/11 times in which we lived in 1983, it seemed more James Bond than Zero Dark Thirty. So I asked the lyricist Mike Rutherford if the covert world of the CIA intrigued him.
Intrigue's the wrong word. It scares me, really. It's an amazing kind of mindless acceptance of things. They had some false experiments a few years ago when they actually set up an imitation experiment, and a guy was in a chair being given an electric shock. And because the people in the control room were actually dressed in white coats, it was a very official sort of government-type thing, when they administered a shock, the guy inside acted. He wasn't really getting a shock at all. He reacted to it as if he was. The subjects were actually the guys not in the chair, but the guys inside turning the knob up. And because the officials organising it and the doctors and the people there looking very official kept saying, no, it's quite all right, don't worry, this is a medical experiment, you know, sanctioned by whoever. And they were turning, some people would turn up to unbelievable levels of pain and didn't question it. Although one or two would actually question it. But it's just amazing what people do when they feel it's official, it's okay to do.
just this once. It's none of my business. They said it was okay. You know, it only takes once to compromise an individual, a political party, or an entire nation. That's Genesis with Just a Job to Do, a good example of the narrative lyrical form that they've used extensively over many years. For at least two band members of Genesis, however, one type of song lyric does not come so easily. Here's Genesis lead singer and drummer Phil Collins.
Mike and Tony have always had problems saying I love you in a word, in a lyric. And I've never had a problem doing that. It's part of me. I'm very honest and direct. And the other guys, because of their upbringing, because of the kind of school they went to, and because of the family, you know, I mean, this is a purely, you know, honest, critical look at them. They've had trouble dealing with showing their emotions. I think there were a ton of, it was drummed into you at the school they went into that men didn't do this. You know, they were being bred for officers and gentlemen material. And I came from a totally different background, so I am a different kind of person. But Tony and Mike have loosened up incredibly.
Genesis keyboard player Tony Banks doth protest.
I think I was the first person to use the words I love you on a Genesis on a Genesis lyric. I have to quote here, as you quoted just now, from a song I wrote in 1976 called Man, Man, Moon, which says, "Oh, how I love you. I once cried long ago." But I must admit, the rest of the song was nothing about it at all. It was just, absolutely right. I've always found it difficult to, I certainly used to find it very difficult to express a sort of a genuine feeling through a song. And I tended to always try to hide through the third person kind of thing. We were talking a bit about this before. And perhaps dress myself as someone else. And I probably still find myself it easier to do that. But I have, over the years, written a few things where I think, you know, you go into the love lyric. I mean, you know, I think Many Too Many, which was in 78 or something, and the same time on that album, and then there were three, Mike wrote the lyrics to Follow You, Follow Me. And I think we both sort of started to explore perhaps the sort of that area of lyric a bit. And it's, because I think there's something about it. I mean, when I was a teenager and stuff, there was nothing like a good, quite straightforward love lyric to actually sort of move you. It's much easier to move a person with that kind of lyric in a way than it is with a deep philosophical statement. But, I mean, it's nice to have a bit of both, to be honest. But I think Phil's point is
It's very true. I think the other thing is that, I mean, he was talking really lyrically, but I think as we probably all have, but as people, Tony and I think, have definitely changed. He's not the uptight little... He's now a wild party animal. But joking apart, it is true. We have relaxed and eased up a little bit, and I think that's part of the group. You know, I think it's helped the group. I think, you know, if we were, you know, way back in the early days, we were five, especially us lot, public school boys, very intense young men. And you know, as the group goes on, I think you need to have a lot of laughter in there, and we do.
from the 1983 Genesis album, great chorus on Taking It All Too Hard. Still to come, a ghost story from the perspective of the ghosts. I'm Redbeard with Mike Rutherford, Tony Banks, and Phil Collins in the studio for the anniversary of the 12th studio album, affectionately dubbed the Mama Album, from Genesis.
This is Tony Banks.
And this is Mike Rutherford, and we are Genesis.
Welcome back to In the Studio
with Genesis. I'm Phil Collins with Redbeard.
Thanks once again, guys. It's the anniversary of this 1983 multi-platinum release, which the band members still refer to as the Mama Album. Here's lead singer, drummer Phil Collins.
It's only really since Mama that we've started to record differently. We'd go into the studio with nothing written. We'd get this blank sheet of paper, equivalent of a blank sheet of paper. We'd get bits, we'd get arrangements, and then we'd decide on an arrangement of a song like Home by the Sea, the first half of that song. I'd put the drum machine down, Tony would put the rough keyboard part down at the same time as Mike putting the rough guitar part down, a compromise of all their parts. And I would sing whatever the melody was, and there was any words like Home by the Sea, that phrase Home by the Sea was improvised, and then Tony went away and wrote a whole lyric about it, like as a ghost story. Then once we've got the arrangement down, and we've recorded the arrangement, we say, right, let's go and listen to it. We listen to it. We agree that that's the arrangement. Then we'll go in and start replacing everything. So we do a backing track, which we don't keep anything of. I go in there and play the drums to the rough keyboard and rough guitar part. And then they come in and put a keyboard part down and then another keyboard part down. And Mike will put a guitar part down. And so you're building bricks, you know?
Picking up the pieces, throwing them away.
phrase, Home by the Sea, was something that Phil sang while we were writing the song. It was a kind of improvised line. And I just took the idea of using that phrase and making it into talking about a ghost story, really. It was just the idea of something that started off looking like an ordinary sort of, so an ordinary burglar comes to a house and he ends up being enveloped in this kind of almost Disney-like haunted house. At the same time, it was to try and use that starting point as to sort of explore sort of themes like aspects of life that sort of, that as they sort of looking at a life through these people who were kind of damned, if you like, and looking back on a life that as it's gone by. That's what the song's all about. The images of sorrow, all that part of it, which I think is the real key to the song. We'll be right back.
What a fabulous opus. Home by the Sea from Genesis was actually inspired by Phil Collins' first use of synthesized drums on a Genesis recording. Mike Rutherford agrees that it has held up well over the years.
My feelings looking back on this album are very clear. It's interesting. At the time, I liked it all, as I do, but it's funny. Side one is great. Side two is not so great. And I never understand why at the time I couldn't see that. But that's the way it always works, you know. I mean, side one has really stood up. Three songs, Mama, That's All, and Home by the Sea. It always amazes me how it's not until you get a couple of years' distance from an album, maybe a year, that you can tell what's good and what's not so good. Because at the time, I love it all. You do the best you can. You can't tell at the time, no. But I think some of the best stuff we've ever done is on the side one of that. I think it's very strong.
Just as I thought it was going all right, I found out I'm wrong when I thought it was right. It's always the same, it's just a shame, that's all. I could say day and you'd say night, tell me it's black when I know that it's white. Always the same, it's just a shame, and that's all.
The eponymous Genesis album in autumn 1983. It helped propel their 12th studio effort to the number one sales in their native UK, number nine sales in America,
2 Grammy nominations, over 4 million copies sold just in the U.S., and a hit arena tour, setting the stage for superstardom just over the horizon in the 80s. We'll leave that for another edition of In the Studio. I'm Redbeard, back after this. This is Redbeard in the Studio, thanking my guests, Mike Rutherford, Tony Banks, and Phil Collins. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard, for Bearded Fish Productions. Copyright 2018, all rights reserved. Transcription by Jane Carpenter Brunet. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net.